And but let's look at Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. That's very important. Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Verse 7. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, this morning we pray that you would apply it to our hearts and our hearts to obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's July, but I always enjoy Christmas. And I look forward to Christmas. And one of the things I like about Christmas is when you see the manger scene and you see all the different parts and pieces to the manger scene, and we know that some of that's just all converged together to tell the story, and we know that the wise men didn't show up literally at the very birth of Jesus, but they showed up a little bit later according to the word of God. But it's all put together in one piece, and it reminds you of the story. And I look forward to Christmas every year, and I look forward to seeing those scenes in order to be reminded of the birth of Christ. And one of the things that you always see is typically they have the three wise men. Of course, there might have been more, but it's symbolized by three wise men because of the gifts. And they have the gold, the myrrh, and the frankincense that they're presenting. So the wise men, the scripture says, came bearing gifts. Well, when Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, and then he ascended to the Father, and remember, he came at Pentecost 50 days later. That's what Pentecost means. And he came at Pentecost, and he had all the disciples gathered in the upper room. And for 10 days, they'd been praying and waiting on the promise from the Father. And so while they're gathered together there, you remember the story in Acts chapter 2, how all of a sudden Peter is preaching in the power of God, and all kinds of things begin to happen, and gifts of the Spirit had come. Well, the book of Joel was fulfilled at that point. And so basically, Jesus comes bearing gifts. And so when Jesus comes into a believer's heart, every believer receives a spiritual gift. And that'll kick us off. And the first point is this: the gifts of the Spirit are salvation gifts. They're salvation gifts. Somebody may say, well, I don't know if I've got a gift from the Lord. I hadn't quite figured it out. Well, let me encourage you, you do. You have a gift, or maybe you're not recognizing, or maybe you just need to stir that gift up. But you have a gift from the Lord if you're a born-again Christian, because he came bearing gifts. And the Bible says he gave gifts to men. And so he did that when he entered into your heart. Now, why are we gifted? And why did God give us salvation gifts? Well, if he didn't, we would just be in the natural realm. We would never be able to be a part of what God's work is here on this earth in spreading the gospel. In other words, he had to gift us in the ability to give and the ability to preach, some for missionary service. And listen, there's a word in here that says ministering gifts, because the gifts are numerous. There's many, many gifts that we continue to tie under a category of like 19 that are listed in the Bible. There's like you can find 30 in the New Testament, but if you look at the repeats of that, you can boil it down to about 19 gifts that you can see. And then there's a multitude of spiritual gifts that fall under each one of those categories. And so God has given you a spiritual gift for one primary purpose, and it's the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, the gift is given through the work of the Holy Spirit in order that we proclaim the mission of Jesus in a lost and dying world. I appreciated that song, Jesus is the Answer for the World Today. And as you and I serve him, I want you to just think about it. What did we just do this morning? I mean, we were standing up and singing. If James Barnwell's here, he's back in the back here praying. Some of you are praying right where you're sitting. We saw a command being obeyed as Bella was baptized. We see the gifts that Sarah has on the piano and that Kevin has in leading music and the praise team. Aren't you glad we've got a praise team? I would hate to have to be up there on a microphone. Well, everybody would leave. And so it's really important that we come together so that we can share our gifts, so that we can edify one another, and so that the gospel can be proclaimed throughout the earth. And that's not just happening here. It's happening at churches everywhere, all over the world today. In fact, in every day, the gospel is being proclaimed. So gifts were given at salvation. Now, there's something I want you to understand. Look at verse 3, because you don't want to confuse gifts with fruit. For I say through the grace, that's the key word, by the way, in verse 3, is grace. For I say through the grace given to me, it was not a natural talent, it was a spiritual gift. To everyone who is among you, now notice he didn't say to some of you that are here, you've received grace. To some of you that are here, you've received a gift, but not all of you. He's saying to all the believers, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, you know that whenever Paul dealt with the Corinthian church, he talked quite a bit about spiritual gifts. There's three chapters that are dedicated to it, especially chapter 12. And they were abusing their gifts. And the problem was carnality. Their gifts were still being able to be exercised because the gifts and callings of God, you can see that in the previous chapter of Romans, are irrevocable. So they were using their gifts without the fruit. Does that make sense? In other words, they were exercising their spiritual gifts that God had given them without love and doing it in a carnal way, and it was not edifying. It was actually tearing the place apart. And so Paul does a quick reminder. He starts out in verse 3, is, hey, listen, it's because of grace. It's because of grace that I'm doing what I'm doing, is what Paul is saying. And then he goes on to say, but hey, be careful. Don't think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, think about that just for a second. In fact, that leads us to our next point. The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural gifts. Think about that. They're supernatural gifts. And basically what that means is he takes the ordinary and makes it the extraordinary. It's natural would be what you can do on your own. It would be a natural ability that you have, but supernatural means that God has showed up, and by his grace, he's given you a gift. And the best illustration of that is found in Matthew chapter 25 with the parable of the talents. Remember what Jesus said there? That's an amazing parable. And it's all about the work that you and I do while we're here on earth, and it's about all of us. He talks about the kingdom of heaven and what it is like. And he says to some, now I just read a scripture just then that says God has dealt to each one. It's in verse 3, the last part. God has dealt to each one. Notice that, each one. You can put your name there. God has dealt to Bruce Rudd. God has dealt to Brian Simmons, to Nicholas Wagner, to Cliff Wallace. God has dealt to each one of us a spiritual gift, and he's done it with a measure of faith. Now, if you look at the parable of the talents, the money was measured out. Some received 2 talents. Some received 5 talents. But they all were responsible to use their measure of their gift accordingly. And remember, there, every time one would come back and he'd say, hey, Lord, I made my 2 talents make 2 more talents. And the Lord would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And you see that repeated over and over, each one saying, hey, Lord, you gave me this much, and I used it, and I made this much. But then he comes to that one that he gave a talent, and he says, I buried mine in the sand. I buried mine because I knew that you're a hard and austere man, and I was afraid. So he buried his talent, and the Bible says, stir up the gift that is within you. Use it for an investment on earth into the kingdom. In other words, when they invested their talent, then it received more income. It's like investing money. And God is saying through that parable, the very thing we're reading about right now in Romans, he's saying when I give you a spiritual gift, you need to use it, and all you have to do is step out in obedience and use your gift with love, and what you'll find is that you're making an investment in the kingdom of God, and that one day there's going to be a return on that investment. And when you get to glory, he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's what he teaches. So there are supernatural gifts. You know, it's interesting that grace, by the way, and you can write beside it if you want to never forget it, that grace is the talent. That's the talent that you've received. Paul says that I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. And it's by his grace. So he kicks off by saying, stay humble, because it's nothing that you did to get it. You didn't beg for it. You didn't get it in any other way. It was something that he dealt out. Now look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now he's comparing the gifts of the body of Christ to our physical body. He's saying, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. In other words, we have a hand and we have feet. And what are you supposed to do with your hands? Well, I think you're supposed to eat with them. What are you supposed to do with your feet? You walk with them. Have you ever even seen anybody walking around town on their hands? Hey, man, he waves at you with his feet. They don't do that. It takes each part of our body to make our body function in a normal way. And so what he's saying here is, he's saying the body is just like that in the body of Christ, except Christ is the head, because our head is where our brain is located. Somebody told me the other day that a goat had a brain about that big. I always wondered why they were the way they are. And they eat cans, they chew up everything. But they have a little bitty brain. But God's given us a pretty good size head so that we can have a pretty good size brain. But he wants us to use our brain and exercise it with the spiritual gift that he has given us. He wants us to use that for his glory. In fact, you ought to circle verse 33 in chapter 11. Because verse 33 is kind of the nutshell of chapter 11 and chapter 12, because chapter 12 starts out with therefore. Well, therefore what? Well, chapter 11, Paul has been given a very exhaustive report on the grace of God. And so he gets to this point in verse 33 and he says, oh, the depth. Maybe you're discouraged this morning, or maybe you're going through a lot. Think about this verse. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. By the way, that's written in light of the wonderful grace of God. And then he goes on in verse 34 and he says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him? Did you notice that? And it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things. Love this doxology. To whom be glory forever. Amen. All things, every gift that we have was received for the glory of God. And you say, well, I need to figure my gift out. A lot of you have your gift figured out, but I'll help you to see what it is here in just a minute. But so our gifts are supernatural gifts. But then our third one is the gifts of the Spirit are service gifts. Now this is where it applies to those surveys that Brother David was announcing about a while ago. We have surveys back in the back that are on the foyer that you can fill out and that you can write down the areas of the church that you would like to be involved with so that you can use your spiritual gift. And that's what that survey is for. And if you see something that's not on the survey, just write it on the paper. And the nominating committee will prayerfully look at all of those and they'll be contacting you. And they'll be contacting those various ministries and committees and seeing how you fit. That's what that's for. Because our job is to create an environment by which you can use your spiritual gift. And as we create the environment and then you come in and use your spiritual gift in the power of love and in the power of grace, then what happens is this whole church is edified. And not only is this church edified, the gospel is proclaimed in our area. And that's what God's purpose of gifting us is it's all about Jesus. I want to illustrate something, but first I want to look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing. Now that's a key word in verse 6, differing. He says according to the grace. He said, so basically, not everybody has the same gift, And it's according to grace. Do we have any Texas Longhorn fans in here today? Amen. I see. Cliff, can you help me just for a second? I've got something for our Texas Longhorn fans that I want to give them as a gift, if you don't mind carrying it to them. And I saw Kevin Yandell raise his hand, and so I want to give Kevin a gift, and this is from my heart, Kevin. And will you take that to Kevin? Do we have two more Texas Longhorn fans? Kevin, take Kevin. There's two Kevins. We got a third Kevin in the house. Okay, and carry him one. And I want to give our Texas Longhorn fans this precious gift from my heart. And now, y'all can't eat those. And if you don't like those, you can always give them back to the preacher. And but I wouldn't eat them in church because we've got the buildings and grounds chairman in here today. But he says in... And now what they just got, these diehard... Now, I'm telling you, I know Kevin Yandell. He is a diehard Longhorn fan. If you go past his house, he's got the little signs out there. I mean, he wears the shirts, the jackets, the car. Everything he's got is Texas Longhorn. He's a big fan. And I just gave him a Texas A&M candy bar. And now, the illustration in that is this. Is inside that package is something good. In fact, it's something that Hershey produced by grace for you and I. And I've been to the Hershey factory. It's one of the best events of my whole life. You get free samples. It's great because they work hard to produce a good product. But I don't think Kevin, I don't think they're very happy right now with their product because it's a good product, but it's in the wrong package. And so the Bible tells us in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So if we try to exercise a gift that we do not have, it's not in the right package. The gift is fine, but it's in the wrong package. And so what happens is we get frustrated. Did you know there's a lot of people that have gotten out of church because out of a popularity contest, they ended up becoming a deacon, but they really didn't want to be a deacon. Or they ended up having to do this because they just couldn't say no. Somebody said, oh, I see that, and you need to do this, and they did it, and they just couldn't say no, and so they got frustrated. Or somebody just wanted to try and see what they're gifted in, and they got into a certain area of ministry, and they became frustrated. Because the gift was good, but it was in the wrong package. And so I want to encourage you that if you've ended up in the wrong package, don't feel ashamed to tell the church or to tell somebody, and I feel like this is a church in the right packages, but there could be somebody that is not, and they just hadn't said anything. Don't be ashamed to say something. Say, hey, I don't think this is my gift. This is frustrating me, and I want to do something different. And then we'll help you to get into that place of service where you belong. And so that would be like me trying to do Kevin's job. Can you imagine? I mean, I don't even know what a measure is or a beat. I did learn the mustache. That's a rest in the hymn book. But it takes God's gifts working together in the right packages. And so he says that to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. That means forthtelling, thus saith the Lord, in proportion to our faith. Now, what does he mean by that? Look at the last part of that verse again. So you say, well, I've got a gift that came at salvation. I've got a gift that is supernatural. I've got a gift that is to be used for his service. Now, what does he mean by the last part of verse 6? If prophecy or forthtelling or thus saith the Lord, he says, let us prophesy. What he's saying is let your package fit the content. That package that Kevin Yandell has right now doesn't fit the content. He's saying, if it's prophecy, let us prophesy. If it's leading the music, let us lead the music. If it's preaching, let us preach. If it's encouraging, let us encourage. If it's administrative gifts, let us do administrative things. Whatever it is, whatever that ministry gift is you have, let us do it that way. And then he says, and do it in proportion to our faith. Now, this is extremely important. Have you ever met somebody and you walk away and you say, man, I know that person is a person of faith. I tell you, this church is full of people that are people of faith. And I mean, they pray and they walk with the Lord That's the picture there. He's saying if you're walking in the Spirit, use your gifts in proportion to your walk in the Spirit. But if you're walking in the flesh, then you're not using your gift in proportion to your faith. You're using your gift in proportion to your flesh. And that's when you beat people up with the Scriptures. That's when you get hateful and judgmental. You have the gift, but you don't have the Spirit by which it's to be traveling down. In other words, let it match your faith in proportion. He says in verse 7, or if it's ministry, by the way, this word, and I looked and scholars, everybody disagrees on exactly how far to carry this word. And it's been agreed upon that it is a general term because ministry covers a lot. In fact, ministry covers pretty much everybody that's in this church that is born again fits in this category. You've been given some sort of gift for the ministry to help others to come to know Christ. He says, let us use it in our ministering. He's saying, if you've been gifted, walk in the Lord. Use your gift in love. Use your gift for the glory of God and do ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who encourages or exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, some people have the gift of giving with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And then he says in verse 9, I'm kind of getting outside our text, but he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Now, why did he say that? All of a sudden, he goes from spiritual gifts, then suddenly he picks up in verse 9, and he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Harbor what is evil, cling to what is good. What's he saying there? He's saying if you're using your gifts apart from love, it's hypocrisy. It's really that simple. Use your gifts in love. He says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. So what is the difference between a gift and fruit? It's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit. You can see that in Galatians 5:22, that the gift of the Spirit is declared. And it's love, gentleness, patience, self-control. I can't remember the others. Y'all help me. Amen. I wish I had one more candy bar. I'd give it to you. but that's the way our gifts are to be used. In other words, the gift has been designed by God to operate in the supernatural realm by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people get confused and they think, well, if I pray hard enough, if I do certain things, it produces the gift. That's not the case. What that does is it produces the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Then there is a natural tendency to share our spiritual gift. Why? Because we're walking in the Spirit. It's really that simple. Now there's two things I want to point out and then we'll close. How can I discover my gift? And I want to keep this really simple because you may be fairly young in here today and you're a Christian and you're trying to figure that out. Well, I hope this is simple enough that you can figure it out. You discover your gift first by personal inclination. In other words, just do what comes supernatural. Inclination is the word inclined. Have you ever heard of somebody that's mechanically inclined? Justin, don't say anything. I depend on Justin. I have to call him every now and then. It's what you're inclined to do. What comes natural? For me, preaching came natural. It was something I desired to do. I wanted to do that. And it just came natural. And I argued with the Lord. And I fought it for 6 years because I thought that was not right for me. I tried to tell God what he needed to do. And God was saying, you don't have an argument on. You can't even argue with me. This is what you're going to do. And you can't argue with God on your spiritual gift either. You just have to do it. If that's what you're inclined to do, it's what you. In fact, I always ask people, what do you love to do more than anything else for the Lord? Some will say, I just like to share Christ, but I'm so scared. Well, that's your gift. Get out there and share Christ. He'll help you with the fear. Or somebody might say, I just love to pray, and there's prayer warriors in this church. And you say, I just love to pray, and man, I pray. That's your spiritual gift. Pray. And call others and tell them you're praying for them. Let it be an encouragement. And pray and watch what God does. In fact, I want to encourage you, if you're gifted in the area of prayer, keep a journal. And write down everything that you pray about in shorthand or whatever, And then when you get the answers or see the answers, just go back in a different color with a like a red ink pen, write the answer. And keep that, because that'd be something great to pass down to your family. Journal it. The second one is public recognition. Now what that means is that you beat yourself up and you know this is what you're inclined to do, but you feel like and you don't have the confidence to step out there and do it, and you feel like I'm the wrong one. That's what I did. And you feel like I can't do it. I did that, and people would tell me all the time. I'd meet everywhere. Man, you need to be preaching. You need to be. I was preaching to the Dairy Queen people in drive-thrus and everything. I couldn't get it out of me. And I'd say, oh, no, I don't. It's like I was an idiot not to see it. Other people will see the gift that is in you. And listen to them. If they just keep over and over and you get it from more than one person and it's just every time you turn around, you ought to be a missionary. You ought to be doing this or you ought to be doing that. Or you're encouraging me. Your prayers encourage me. Or your encouraging words and cards and texts, they encourage me. Your service and the help that you give in the church at all hours of the day and all hours of the night, it's an encouragement. You must have the gifts of service. Where is Madeline at? Okay, Madeline's spiritual gift is opening that back door with Brother Clyde. If you see her leaving a lot of times, I try to encourage her, wait till after the invitation. It's because she can't wait. She's scared to death that Brother Clyde's going to beat her back there and get the doors open. And she likes to get out there with Clyde and help him with the doors and get everything ready for when we exit. And so that's her gift right now. She's a Christian. She's saved. She's been baptized and born again. She has a spiritual gift. And right now it appears that it's in some sort of service area that she can give at 9 years old. And so you all have a gift, and our job is not to hinder that with our kids, not to hinder that with any of you that are in the church. And so be sure to get one of those surveys and fill it out and place it in the box in the back in the foyer so we will have a record of what we can get you involved in. And you don't have to get involved in everything. Don't burn out, but get involved in something. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you have gifted us supernaturally. And that the purpose of your gifts is so that when we come together, and you said that we are individually members of one another. We're not individual members to practice our gift in a way that doesn't affect other believers and doesn't affect the lost folks around us. But that when we all do our part and work together, we feel a sense of purpose. We feel a sense of meaning. It lifts our spirits. It encourages each other. It allows love to freely flow in our midst. It allows your Holy Spirit to freely flow in our midst. And when we do that, you will bring people to the knowledge and the saving grace in Jesus Christ. And God, that's what I pray for Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. That, Lord, this is not a social club. It's not a place that is just our get-together. But it's a place, Lord, by which we can love one another, just like Cliff said in his prayer. He looks forward to those family reunions every Sunday and every Wednesday. It's a place we can come together and be edified and lifted up. And you may be in here this morning and maybe you haven't received the indescribable gift. The indescribable gift is salvation. And this morning you can give your heart to Jesus. In fact, you can do that right now. If you're not sure or you haven't done that, I want to encourage you right now to begin to talk to Jesus from your heart with your own words. Be honest with him. Come just as you are. Share with him that you're a sinner and that you need his precious blood to cover you and to protect you from his wrath in the day of judgment. And he'll apply his blood. In fact, he'll cover you with his blood. He won't just sprinkle it or apply it. He'll cover you. You see, Jesus is God and he took your sin penalty and he paid for it at Calvary. So that if you'd repent and believe in him, repentance simply means turning from the way I'm going and turning to come to the Lord. Jesus invites you to come this morning. Would you come to Christ? Heavenly Father, do in our hearts what only you can do. In Jesus' name.